Okay, thank you. If we can move on to agenda item five, which is councillor questions. The first question from councillor Hall.
Thank you, Leader. This question is for Councillor Palmer. Councillor Palmer, the budget includes an assumption that 40% of householders will take up the £75 bin charge, brown bin charge. Can you clarify how you reached that figure?
Thank you for your question. The 40% is based on the proportion of households in the borough that use the existing garden waste collection scheme. This equates to 28,800 households out of the baseline of 72,000 households on the three bin collection. So basically, 28,800 divided by the 72,000 times 100 is the 40%.
Yes, I'd work that out myself. But the problem is, you've exempted so many people, including pensioners and people on that are vulnerable in some instances. Therefore, you're taking them out the equation. So therefore, you would need far more than 40%. So for the scheme to break even, you'll actually need far more, as I said. And given that only 14% of residents said that they will pay, 14, and 53% of residents said they wouldn't, how on earth do you think that these figures are going to stack up and you'll make the savings that you want to? Have you actually discussed this with senior officers and asked those, posed those particular questions? Because they're glaringly obvious to me.
I have gone through the proposal with the senior team, so I am aware of what they are.
Okay, question number two again is for Councillor
dear.
Palmer. This is from you, Councillor Shaw. Hall, sorry.
I'm Councillor Hall. Please don't confuse me. Are you happy with the standard of the consultations you conducted regarding the proposed budget cuts to the Environment Services?
Thank you, Councillor Hall. Yes, I am.
Well, you see, it's amazing because there's a load of people behind me concerned. If any of them are neighbourhood champions, the consultation didn't mention that you'd cut all dedicated funding to the scheme. The parks consultation didn't make it clear that parks will almost certainly lose their green flag status and that the keepers wouldn't be retained. None of the consultations on park maintenance, street sweeping, brown bins, or any of the environmental health actually asked the residents a straightforward question: are you in favour of this policy or not? And there's an awful lot of people sitting here looking at park gates not being locked. We've been through all this before. It took a Conservative administration to actually start locking them again, because people forget you were going to do this last time. Do you actually think that any of your consultations are worth the paper they're written on?
Yes, we are.
Thank you, Councillor Hall, and I apologise. You are a lot prettier than Councillor Shah.
Leader, against the backdrop of thousands of residents signing petitions protesting your administration's plans to close libraries in Edgware, Hatch End, North Harrow and Rayners Lane, as well as children's centres and Harrow art centres, are you satisfied that the recreation of the chief executive role, which we axed, our administration axed, to save money, represents good value for money and is the right way forward for Harrow?
I have previously made clear on numerous occasions at meetings of Cabinet, Council, and in the press the reasons behind this administration's decision to reinstate the post of Chief Executive. I will continue to promote the value of this post to residents for the long-term future of this council and the borough.
Thank you. You have tasked the Chief Executive with a senior management restructure. Do you, as leader, envisage a reduction in the number of corporate directors as part of this restructure?
Yes, you're right. We have tasked the Chief Executive with a restructure, and we are looking at all tiers within the two structures which I've outlined, and so we'll be bringing forward proposals in due course. Your question number four, please, McLeod Cullinane.
How was the chief executive's starting salary agreed?
Again, as I've said at previous councils and cabinets, through discussion between the appointed candidate and the divisional director of HR Development and Shared Service, in consultation with the leader, is how that was agreed.
Why was the decision then made to pay the chief executive at the second highest banding in the pay scale rather than at the bottom, which is not merely traditional with new employees, but in accord with the pay policy?
Well, again, you're completely incorrect, because this is fully in line with the current council's pay policy. Could we move on to question five, please, from Councillor Susan Hall?
I do hope we get some answers this evening. This is to Councillor Anderson. Your consultation on the budget's proposed cuts to the voluntary sector funding stated that analysis had been conducted, which showed a number of organisations deliver the same or similar services for the same or similar demographics, and also asked respondents to detail any service overlap that they were aware of. Could you provide me with this aforementioned analysis in full, as well as any supporting documentation or statistical data which evidences the said overlap?
Thank you for your question, Councillor Hall. In our engagement with the voluntary sector last November, a number of groups raised this potential for duplication and suggest that Harrow Council review how services are commissioned to maximise benefit and minimise duplication. We're obviously going to be happy to share this feedback with you. As a result of this, we did look at the services we commissioned across the council, and our top-line funding analysis shows that over 14 organisations are providing advice services, 3 offer support to those with Asperger's syndrome, at least 3 offer advocacy support, etc. So, however, we wanted to test whether this apparent duplication is in fact the case with our voluntary sector groups and service users, and therefore included the questions you quote. Obviously, we need to see the outcome of the consultation, which closes tomorrow, before we can comment further.
If you haven't finished the consultation, why are you cutting the funding for the voluntary sector without having finished a consultation, with having refused to give them any of the information that I've just asked you for, without actually knowing what you're doing? We're putting through a budget, or rather you are, because there's no way my group would put this budget through. You're putting through a budget when you've not finished consultation. You won't give the user groups the information that they so need to assist us in all the very, very good work that they do. How on earth can you actually do that when you haven't finished the analysis? There's no proper analysis been done.
Thank you for your supplementary question. I think really the answer to that was in my original answer, because as I say, this is an issue that's been discussed, but we need, once we've got the answers from the voluntary sector consultation, then obviously we can look at it. Now, the consultation is particularly about looking at how we deal with the funding cuts that unfortunately appear to be necessary because of the inadequacy of government funding for us. If we have to find £25 million of cuts, this is the kind of thing that is going to happen.
Don't keep blaming the government. It would be better if you actually got your facts correct so that you could give them to the voluntary sector before you come up with decisions on funding and let them know where they stand and actually have the answers so that you can make an informed decision in this cabinet. You cannot make an informed decision when you are not in possession of the proper facts.
Okay, Councillor Hall, if we could move on to question six, which is Councillor James Bond. And you do have an opportunity next Thursday, Councillor Hall, and your Conservative group to put forward an alternative budget, because we know what you wouldn't do, but you're not telling us what you would. So please enlighten us and the people of Harrow. Councillor Bond.
Thank you, Leader. This is for Councillor Palmer. Has your department appointed a project leader / manager for the plan charge you intend to implement for organic waste collections?
Thank you, Councillor Bond, for your question. We have appointed a temporary project manager on a 12-week contract.
And my supplementary is in 3 parts. Why have you appointed this person prior to the democratic process of the full council? Why have you increased the already high agency and interim costs, contrary to Councillor Perry's statement, to reduce this cost? Why have you predetermined the outcome of the consultation prior to full council?
As you know, the project manager, although they will be used if the waste collection goes forward after for council, is also supporting us with other projects.
Okay, question seven from Councillor Mikhail Cullinane.
Thank you, Leader. What are performance targets are contained in the Chief Executive's contract, and how will they be monitored, particularly during his probationary period?
The contractual duties and responsibilities of the Chief Executive are set out in his job description, which is published on the Council's website. The Council's pay policy, which is also published on the website, is that Council employees, including the Chief Executive, do not receive performance-related payment or bonuses, so the Chief Executive contract does not include any performance targets. The Chief Executive targets and objectives are agreed with myself as the leader of the Council and monitored through our regular one-to-one meetings and formal appraisals. The Council's probationary procedure recommends a formal review is undertaken after 8, 16 and 24 weeks. And these targets include the delivery of the administration's priorities, which we spend many times reciting to you.
Thank you very much. Given that, I'd like just to ask that in the light of all the stuff that's been going on in other parts of the country over children's services, and I know that we've got issues in children's services and we've got to, interim, that we actually make sure that we flag up that as a area that needs addressing very quickly as a key priority. May I move on to my next question, Leader?
Question number seven, or is it number eight? That's to Councillor Shaw.
Can you clarify why the trade union facility time reduction saving has been deleted from the budget?
Yes, I can. As part of the budget consultation with the unions pointed out that these changes would be disruptive to effective communication. As an administration, we value our staff strongly, and when we're going through huge Tory government cuts, it's vital that we have effective engagement with our trade union colleagues.
So are you telling us tonight that if the unions beg you not to cut their funding, you don't? But if the voluntary organisations who provide such important services to our residents and so on so beg, you ignore them or you just throw consultations in their faces. So what does this say about your priorities to the people of Harrow?
We don't ignore anyone. We listen to all consultation responses.
Question nine, Councillor Hall.
Thank you. Another one to Councillor Palmer. I say business case in the loosest terms, because it wasn't a proper business case. I have seen for the brown bin charges suggest three methods of being considered for collecting of the separate food caddies. When will a decision on this be made, and how is it that these seemingly very different ways of collecting the caddies can have the same cost implications?
Thank you, Councillor Hall. We have looked at the three different ways of collecting the food waste, and they are all within the savings envelope. A decision will be made by April, and it is an important one, as you know, so it will be made with care.
Have you actually seen the figures around these? Because if you can't think it's the same to buy vehicles as to hire vehicles or to use our existing fleet. The actual cost of purchasing these food pods. There are so many variables in this. There are so many questions unanswered as to the whole brown bin episode that I cannot see how you can possibly have a proper financial model for it, because it certainly didn't come through in the papers I saw, which was not a proper business case.
Our collection vehicles are leased, and the contract has flexibility to change the vehicles to make sure we'll get the appropriate vehicles that are required.
Which you don't know which they are, which is very unhelpful.
Question 10, Councillor
Hall. Are you confident that the brown bin savings will be achieved?
Thank you. As with anything new, the service will take time to bed in, and we have done all the background work and preparations prior to the implementation, and it will be reviewed, so we are confident we will be.
Varsha, how on earth can you be confident when we don't know what vehicles we're going to use, we don't know how we're going to get the food pods in, we don't know how much the actual bins for the food pods are going to cost, let alone how we're going to transport them around. You look at the first question on 40% of take-up on this, well, that's built on sand as well, because you've actually said that pensioners can have it for nothing, which is a good thing, but then that screws up the actual financial costings. The financial costings around this do not make any sense whatsoever. You cannot possibly cost something up when you don't even know what vehicles are going to be used to collect these. Would you not agree that you cannot build a proper financial model on something that you just have got no answers for whatsoever?
As I did say previously, I have looked at the costings and the proposals.
Councillor Hall, we've now run out of time. I allowed an extra couple of questions because we did with the public questions.
You heard all the public questions.
Yes, and we run out of time, but I allowed a few extra questions.
You promised we could sit on Cabinet now, and ask proper questions throughout all Cabinet meetings.
Councillor Hall,
this is democracy, virtue of the Labour.
Can we hear the rest of the questions, please?
I would ask... If you just bear with me one second, sir. I think this is a point of relevance to not just people round the table, but the people in the audience. I don't know if Councillor Hall talks to her colleagues, but I and Councillor Shah sat in overview and scrutiny for 2 hours straight, 2 hours plus.
I'm sitting behind you.
And you had that opportunity to ask us all the questions. So please don't say that we dodged democracy when we have had and been through that opportunity. And I don't remember you being there. So I don't remember you being there. So you must have been busy that night. So please don't say that we don't accept questions, because we have been scrutinised long and hard on this issue. Okay. If we could move on. We have a large agenda, and I hope you'll all stay with the Cabinet to hear and to discuss all of these very important issues.